you'll find those. And then turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter number 100. The book of Psalms, chapter number 100. You may be able to quote this chapter, but we will read it together and take this familiar passage and find a truth for today. And you pray for me that the Lord will help me to help you, okay? Amen. If God helps me, then I can help you, and we can all leave out of here helped. Wouldn't that be a good thing? Amen. Psalms chapter number 100, if you're there, stand with me. It's a short chapter. We'll read the entirety of it and then preach for just a few minutes. And then we'll go. Psalms 100, verse number 1 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." Father, bless Your word, we pray this morning, and help us as we try to preach from it. We ask in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Amen. Psalms 100 is such a fitting psalm for not only this time of year, but I believe for us today. Of course, today is the day that we set aside, especially tonight, as our Thanksgiving service, our harvest service. And this 100th psalm is a psalm of worship, and it is a psalm of praise. But it is not only a psalm of worship and praise, I believe, according to verse number 4, it is a psalm of worship and praise born from a heart of thankfulness. He said in verse 4, "Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise, be thankful unto Him and bless His name." I've been thinking this week about the subject of thanksgiving. As I have done so, I have been convinced of three things. I have been convinced that we have a lot to be thankful for. The psalmist said in Psalm 68, verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." Every morning when we wake up and we open our eyes, we are filled with the blessings of God. God blesses us more and more day by day. In fact, I believe that He blesses us so bountifully and so often that we many times do not even recognize all the things that God truly has done for us. David said, "I couldn't count them, so I'll just say He daily loads me with them." And I've grown convinced that we have much to be thankful for. Secondly, I've become convinced that we are not thankful enough. Amen? Too often we think about all the things that are going wrong, and in our thought of things going wrong, we fail to consider all the things that are going right. Thirdly, I am convinced that thankfulness fixes a lot of problems. I've grown convinced in that. Thankfulness fixes a lot of problems. You say, "Well, preacher, what does that mean?" Well, thankfulness fixes negativity. Thankfulness fixes downtrodden attitudes. Thankfulness fixes a lot of discouragement and a lot of depression. You see, if we are thankful, then it is hard to at the same time be negative. If we are thankful, it is hard at the same time to be downtrodden and discouraged. I think thankfulness would fix a lot of our attitudes. I think that thankfulness would fix a lot of sin. You see, the more thankful we are for what God has done for us, the less likely we are to do some things wrong. Is that right or not? You see, when we are living daily with gratitude and thankfulness, then we're going to stay away from some things. And this kind of goes with it, but thankfulness, I believe, would make us more holy. You see, the more thankful we are for what we have, the closer we would want to be to God and have a deeper relationship with the Lord because of all those things that He has given to us. Well, I've been thinking about thankfulness this week, and I want to preach out of this psalm today simply on the thought of this. I just want to preach on thankfulness. Let me show you three things from our text. Number one, I want you to see that there is a command for thankfulness. There is a command for thankfulness. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Notice that the chapter begins with a command. Actually, there's three. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord. Come before His presence. These things are not optional. They are not suggestions. They are not thoughts for motivation. These are commands given to us at the beginning of the chapter. The psalmist commands us to be thankful in our lives. I was thinking about the words of the Apostle Paul. Paul in Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 18 gives a dual command. He begins the verse by saying, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. That is a command. Stay away from it. It's bad for you. But then he follows that command with this command, and be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, don't be drunk with wine. Don't let wine control you, but rather let the Holy Spirit control you. And he said, if you let the Holy Spirit control you, in verse number 18, then in verse number 19, you will speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Verse number 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You see, we should be filled with His Spirit. And as we are filled with His Spirit, Paul said we will be thankful, we will be joyful, we will be submissive. These things come with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so there is a command to thankfulness. I tried my best a while ago to give up my subpoints, but I had a relapse this week and some of them snuck back on me. So I've got a few. I want you to write this down, letter A. We are to shout because we are thankful. We are to shout because we are thankful. Verse 1 said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. When this chapter opens, you are given a picture of the nation of Israel shouting with joy and praise unto the Lord. This is one of the royal psalms, so these people are shouting because of who God is. There's no promised blessing that they're shouting about. There's no great deliverance in this chapter that brings them to rejoicing. These people are simply rejoicing and shouting because they are thankful for who God is and who God is alone. That is enough to bring them to this place of rejoicing in our chapter. And then the praise of verse 1 not only takes the nation of Israel, but it is encouraged to break forth into all the lands. You see, we are all to shout forth with thanksgiving because of who God is. Amen. I was thinking this week about when you and I get over on the other side, when we get into heaven. And we don't know a lot about heaven and what it'll be like, but we do know a few things. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter number 4, it tells us about 24 elders. And these 24 elders are sitting around the throne, and they have crowns on their head and robes of white that they're wearing. And they picture the church. There's 12 from the Old Testament, 12 from the New. They picture the church of all generations. And they are gathered around the throne. And as they are around that throne, John said he notices two things. First of all, he notices that they are shouting praises unto God. Verse 11 of chapter 4 says that they begin to shout something like this. Thou art worthy, O God, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasures they are and were created. They are shouting around that throne. But then he says that he notices that the cause of their shout is because they are thankful. Because in verse number 10, they fall down, they take off their crowns, and they begin to cast them before the throne. You say, why are they doing that? They are thankful for what God has done for them. And they are letting that be vocalized. They are letting that be known. In chapter 7, they do the same thing. In heaven, they rejoice because they're thankful that they have been redeemed. And can I say to us this morning that God has been good to us. We have much to be thankful for, and we need to vocalize that every once in a while. Amen. You know what we do? I think this is what we do. I think that we allow our emotions to drive our shout. Am I right or not? We allow our emotions to drive our shout. If we've had a good week, it's easier to shout on Sunday. If we've had a bad week, it's harder to shout on Sunday. But the thing is that our shout is not driven by our emotions. Now, if we get thankful, it's going to drive our emotions somewhat, is it not? But our shout is not driven by our emotions. Our shout should be driven based on who God is and what God has done for us. Whether you've had a bad week or a good week does not change the fact that God is God and God is good and God deserves our praise. Amen. Oh, yeah, we shout because somebody else shouts, and it kind of makes us a little excited that somebody else is being noisy. That's why I've been in Baptist churches my whole life. I know how it works. You let somebody stir it up or somebody try to, and then we all get kind of excited, and then we all shout, all phony baloney. I'm saying we ought to shout not because the spirits are subject unto us, but we ought to shout because our names are written in heaven. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, we've got something to shout about this morning. He said we are commanded to shout because we're thankful. Then in verse number 2, he says we're commanded to serve because we're thankful. To serve because we're thankful. He said serve the Lord with gladness. The shout of verse number 1 turns into service in verse number 2. We are told to serve the Lord. Not only are we told to serve the Lord, but we're told to serve the Lord with gladness. You say, what's the difference in the two? Well, there's a difference in serving God and serving God with gladness. You see, a servant may serve his master out of duty and servitude, but he may not do it with gladness. You may work for your employer because you've got to pay the bills, but that doesn't mean you do it with gladness. But the Bible says in verse 2 that the saints of God are to serve God not out of duty, not out of servitude, but with a thankful heart. We are to do it with gladness. You see, when a person is glad, when a person is thankful, they are more likely to serve the Lord with gladness and thankfulness in their hearts. In fact, I will say this, an unthankful person is not a very giving person, not a very serving person. An unthankful person is oftentimes a very selfish person. You let somebody that is unthankful for all they have come into your life, and they will come in with a negative spirit, a selfish spirit. It will all be about them. What can be done for me? What can you offer me? How can you help me? Let me tell you what I'm going through. Let me tell you about this problem and that problem and this problem. And they are unthankful, and their unthankfulness shows up in their selfishness. But when we look at our lives and we see the bountiful blessings that God has given to us, we then in turn decide to serve God, not so we can get something else, but because we've already been given so much. Amen. You see, think about it. The person that is unthankful says, I've got to go to church. But the person that is thankful says, I get to go to church. The person that is unthankful says, I've got to give my tithes or the preacher's going to preach on me again. But the person that is thankful says, God has blessed me another week and he's provided for my family another week and we have had food to eat and clothes on our back and heat in our homes and I just can't help but thank God with my tithe. Oh yeah, the person that is unthankful says, I've got to study because I've got to teach that class again. But the person that is thankful says, thank God for using me and letting me do what he's called me to do. And I just can't wait to get to church on Sunday and tell somebody else about Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, the person that is unthankful says, I can't believe they're asking me to help, and I can't believe that they're asking me to do. I just helped and I just did. But the person that is thankful says, I'm glad to help my neighbor. I'm glad to do for somebody else. I want somebody else to experience a little bit of what I've been given. You see, we ought to be thankful servants of God. I thought about those that story in about the Queen of Sheba when she come to visit Solomon. You remember that story? And the Bible says that the Queen of Sheba begins to spend some time with Solomon. And after a period of time, she begins to make some comments. She said, I've discovered something, Solomon. She said, I've discovered, first of all, that the half has not been told me. She said, they didn't tell me about all the goodness that is here. And then she begins to comment about the beauty and the wealth. And she says this. She said, I cannot get over how your servants serve you with gladness. You know why they served with gladness? They were thankful to be in the presence of the king. Hey, I'm telling you, you know why I can serve with gladness? I'm just glad to be in his presence. Amen. I'm just glad he uses somebody like me. I'm telling you, we are to serve because we are thankful that God has done so much for us. Amen. Oh, now watch this. We are to shout because we're thankful. We are to serve because we're thankful. I'll say this quickly. We are to sing because we are thankful. Verse number 2 says, come before his presence with singing. There's our third command. Finally, the thankfulness turns into a song. Thankfulness and singing oftentimes go together, do they not? This is probably a crude illustration, but I thought about the fact that in the fall on most Friday nights, I'm standing on a football field somewhere. And I still like this tradition. I hate the fact that most schools don't pray anymore, but I still like this. At some point, a little before the football game, they'll call everybody's attention and they'll say, we'd like to direct your attention to the field. Men, stand, remove your caps. For the playing of the national anthem. And they'll start playing that Star Spangled Banner. And I have stood there, and you can make fun of me for this, but I'm glad to be an American. I have stood there before on Friday nights and listened to them play that national anthem, and I have thought in my soul how glad I am to be an American. In fact, there's a man on my crew this year, and he's served in the military. He's been to Afghanistan. He's fought battles. He's been through some stuff. And I'll watch as George stands there at attention. And he's straight and he's tall and he's proud. And I've stood before next to him before and had to hold back tears in my eyes because I am thankful for those that have gone and served this country. I'm glad I'm an American. Amen. And I've watched him stand there big and strong and proud. And I thought, I'm glad to be here. Hey, that song just does something for me. Boy, I tell you what, singing does something with thankfulness, does it not? You hear that song taps, and you can't help but think about those men and women that have given their lives so that we can, and that don't do something to you. You got something wrong with you. I've stood at, y'all gonna laugh about this one. I've stood at Neyland Stadium before and listened to them play Rocky Top and think, I'm glad to be from Tennessee. I'm saying thank. I'm not saying I cried at that one. I'm not saying I cried at that one. I've wanted to cry at Neyland Stadium a few times. But we're thankful, are we not? They'll say, good old Rocky Top. Home sweet home to me. And everybody will say, woo! Woo ain't even part of Rocky Top. But we say it because we're excited. I'm saying that the child of God will have a song in their heart when they're thankful. When Moses brought the children of Israel over the Red Sea and God delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh and the Egyptians, the Bible says that Miriam began to sing a song. And she began to sing the song of redemption, and they worshiped and they sang. When Barak and Deborah defeated the Canaanites, the Bible said that Deborah began to sing a song unto the Lord. When God called Mary to carry that baby inside of her virgin womb, she stood before her cousin Elizabeth and she sang because God had honored her. David wrote songs and Solomon wrote songs. God said his people ought to be a singing people. Oh, I read this a minute ago, but Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, said, speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody unto God in your hearts, giving thanks always for all things. We ought to be a singing people because we are a thankful people. Now let me say this and I'll move on. The shout on our need to hear. Oh, we shout in the congregation, but we can shout in public just like we can shout in private. Amen. I can shout praises unto God when I'm here with you, but I can shout praises to God as I drive to work in my car. I can shout them alone in my prayer closet. Hey, I can be thankful at all times. Amen. I can serve God publicly for you to see, but I can also serve God privately where nobody else sees. But God sees that service and He accepts that as praise and thanksgiving. Amen. You probably won't hear me sing a song publicly this morning, and you ought to shout about that. I may not sing publicly, but there have been many times that I've had a song in my heart. I've had a melody in my soul because God has been good to me. Oh, I see the command for thankfulness. Number two, not only do I see the command for thankfulness, but I see the cause of thankfulness. Verse 4 says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Verse 5 gives us the reason why. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Verse 1 opens up with a shout of praise. Verse 2 calls upon the nations to join in this praise. Now in verse 4, the praise reaches the sanctuary. You can picture the nations as they file through the gates of the tabernacle and they fill the courts around that holy place. And united, they shout and they sing unto the Lord. Amen. Boy, I don't know if it'll happen this way, but in my soul, I believe it will. I can picture heaven one day and what it'll be like. I can hear the trumpet sound in the east and the Lord step on that cloud and call the saints home. And we gather together with one another, the saints of all the ages reunited in heaven. And I can almost see Brother Scott as the Lord leads us back into that place called heaven. And as we walk through the gate and we gather in that court of heaven and we surround the throne, I can almost hear the host of heaven as they begin to shout and as they begin to sing and as they begin to praise and we sing the song of Moses and the Lamb and we sing because we are redeemed. But this is not only a picture of heaven. I believe this is a picture of you and me. As we enter into His courts and we gather here together on every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, Sunday night, and we worship God together. What a beautiful picture that is. It could be the family that gathers together, the couple that gathers together, the individual that gathers into God's presence. But He says we are to come before Him with thanksgiving. He gives us three reasons. Letter A, He says you should worship Him because God is good. Amen. The goodness of God is something we can be thankful for, is it not? The psalmist once wrote, O taste and see that the Lord is good. I was thinking this week about the goodness of God. Do you know that the goodness of God in verse number 5 is something that is not exclusive to the believer? You see, God is good to all the nations, saved or unsaved. In fact, it is oftentimes the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Romans chapter 2, verse number 4. You see, there are some things we can be thankful for today. We can be thankful for the beauty of creation. Amen. We can be thankful for the five senses that God lets us have, for the food that is in our belly and the roof that is over our head. We can be thankful for the love of our family, the love of those that we have. You say, well, preacher, I don't have all those things. Well, you've got some of those things, so God has been good to you. God is good and we can be thankful for it. I promise you, if you look hard enough and you won't have to look real hard, you'll find something to be thankful for. Amen. Amen. You won't have to look real hard and you'll find something to be thankful for. We could all testify that God is good. Not only are we are to be thankful because God is good, we're to be thankful because God is merciful. The goodness of God is given to all, but the mercy of God is given to those who accept it. You see, Jesus died on the cross for the world. He offers salvation to all mankind, but it is only those who accept Christ that receive that mercy. God wants us to have His mercy, but He gives it to those that receive it. You see, mercy is the opposite of justice. Justice means you get what you deserve. But aren't you glad that you and I that are saved did not get what we deserve? We got mercy instead. Christina sings that song about that's when mercy walked in. Hey, I'm telling you, friend, all of us, if we were to stand before the judge in heaven, He would slam that gavel down and say, guilty. You deserve death. You deserve hell. But God didn't give us justice. God gave us mercy. We can be thankful for that. We can be thankful for His truth, verse number 5. The word truth in verse number 5 comes from the Hebrew word meaning amen. This word speaks of the faithfulness of God. It says He is the amen. His truth, His faithfulness endureth to all generations. You say, what's that mean, preacher? It means that God can be trusted from one generation to another generation. It means this. It means the same God that took care of Granny and Grandpa and the same God that took care of Mom and Dad will take care of you. And that same God can be trusted to take care of our children and our children after them. We oftentimes wonder, what kind of world will our children inherit? And I have thought about that myself. But you know, the reality is this. The same God that was faithful to me and the same God that was faithful to the generation before me will be faithful to my children. All I've got to do is get my kids to where God is so they can have a relationship with Him, and then God can be trusted from that point. Amen. His truth, His faithfulness endures to all generations. Let me show you this. I'm not going to preach this one. I just want to show it to you. So I see the command of thankfulness. I see the cause of thankfulness. And last of all, I see the Creator deserves thankfulness. Amen. Verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord is God. It is He that hath made us, and we not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Let me just state this and be done. God deserves your thankfulness, if for no other reason than because of who He is. I thought about a young man that he's already gone on to be with the Lord. His name was Micah Henson. And Brother Micah was greatly used of God to sing and to write songs. And he was born the same year that I was born, but died at the age of 29. Didn't quite make it to 30. He had a disease that took him out of this world early. And Brother Micah was sick, and he was close to death. Not far from it, battling that disease. And as he's battling that disease, he wrote a song. And I thought about it this week. The song says this. It said, I've seen things along the way. I've seen some trouble in my short days. Through it all, I have no fear. You see, I have a friend that's always near. And if the sun were to fall, and if the oceans were to dry, if the mountains were to crumble, I wouldn't bat an eye. For I stand upon the rock of all the ages. No matter what may come, what storm around me rages, I stand upon what never changes. Amen. You see, I'm thankful for all God has done. But if all God's blessings went away tomorrow, I could still be thankful because of who God is. Like Brother Micah said, if the sun were to fall and the ocean was to dry, if all the blessings were gone, Job woke up one day and all of his blessings were gone. His wealth and his family and everything that he had. Job's testimony was this: the Lord gave and the Lord took away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are we thankful this morning? Tonight we'll come and we'll give our testimonies of thankfulness. But we don't have to wait till tonight. We can be thankful in our soul today. Amen. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I'm dealing with. It does not matter what you're dealing with. God is God and God is good. Amen. And you can be thankful. Brother Scott, why don't you get us a song? Let's have a verse of invitation.